morning, everyone. It's a blessing to be here. Let's start with a prayer and then I will proceed forward. Lord, we come before you this morning. Thank you for another new day and for the beautiful cold weather. Thank you, Lord, that we can gather in this way, Lord, and that we can hear your word preached. And just help us to draw closer to you, Lord, through this word. Just be with me this morning, Lord, as I share. Give me the words that I should speak, Lord, and that I can have peace in my heart. And just be with the other brothers as they share also, Lord. Just bless this day in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, I'm going to start off talking to the children a little bit. And again, I'm starting with a bird. I'm going to talk about the killdeer to the children. So imagine with me that it's springtime and you're outside walking around. And it's cool morning and the sun's just coming up. And maybe you're walking down the lane or the driveway and you see a killdeer. And this killdeer starts to do something. He starts to act like his wing's broken, right? And he starts to walk away. Well, we know what the killdeer is trying to do, but imagine you didn't know. And you start following that thing. So the killdeer is trying to hide a nest. He's trying to protect something. So he's using that. He's acting like he broke his wing, so you follow and try to catch it. He's taking you away from the nest. So what is that killdeer doing to you? I believe that killdeer is deceiving you, right? Killdeer is being a little hypocrite. So I'm going to talk about the sin of hypocrisy today. I'm going to try. And I know I'm not perfect in this area. This is something that I've dealt with in my life and still have to at times. So hypocrisy and deceitfulness, they kind of go hand in hand. Hypocrisy is a form of deceitfulness. I believe deceitfulness is more of a broad term, though. So what is hypocrisy? I believe it's acting out a life around others that you really aren't living. Or basically living a lie or living deceitfully. And I find it interesting that in creation, there's all different ways that animals and birds are deceitful. But God made it that way so they can survive. But if you take that to the humans, if we live deceitful, we're not going to survive. It's amazing how that's flipped around like that. Hypocrisy is like this analogy. I found this little story. It says, the Queen Mary was the largest ship to cross the oceans when it was launched in 1936. Through four decades in a world war, she served until she was retired as a floating hotel and museum in Long Beach, California. During the conversion into a hotel, her three massive smokestacks were taken off to be scraped down and repainted. But on the dock, they crumbled. Nothing was left of the 3/4-inch steel plate from which the stacks had been formed. All that remained were more than 30 coats of paint that had been applied over the years. The steel had rusted away. I believe hypocrisy is like that. You look beautiful on the outside, like a fresh coat of shiny paint. But inside, you're crumbling away and you're rotten, falling apart. So are we strong steel or are we painted rust? I'm going to read Malachi chapter 1. That is right before Matthew. Help you find it a little more. So Malachi was called to bring the people back to a genuine enduring faith in God. His dominant admonition is for a personal relationship with the living God who seeks men to walk with him. That's what it says on top here. So he's here to call the people back, and they're still waiting for the Messiah to come. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down, and they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. But then I be a father, if then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts unto you? So he's saying, if a son honors his father and a master honors his servant, he said, if I being a father, where's my honor? Why aren't you guys honoring me? And why aren't you guys fearing me? O priest that despises my name, that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? So he's saying, you guys have despised my name. They're like, well, where did we despise your name? It says, ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? And that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee? Or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts. And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your persons, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering of your hand. For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place, incense shall be offered unto my name in a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye have profaned it, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness it is, and ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts, and ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus he brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? And this is the verse I'm getting at, verse 14. But cursed be the deceiver which hath in his flock a male, and voweth, and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. So they were saying, they were vowing that they're going to offer a good ram among their flocks to the Lord. But they were taken blind and lame and less than desirable animals and sacrificing them to the Lord. And God was not pleased with that. I want to read verse 14 in the New Living. It says, cursed is a cheat who promises to give a fine ram from his flock, but then sacrifices a defective one to the Lord. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of heaven's armies, and my name is feared among the nations. So they were being hypocrites. They were saying, yeah, we're going to offer a good ram. And then they were giving God all the defective ones. And I'm going to come back to this later, but so why do we sometimes live in hypocrisy? What causes us to want to live like that? And I have a couple points here. So the first is maybe we have hidden sin in our lives and we don't want people to know about it. So we try to cover it up, put on, you know, a good-looking person. And the second one is we want to be looked at positively, so we have to act in order to be looked at that way. So we want people to think good of us, so, and we know that maybe we're not living up to what they think is good, so we act to allow them to think like that. The third is we want to be held higher, at a higher moral standard than others, so we judge them more harshly. So we want to be held higher than others, but we know that the way I'm living isn't as good as how that guy's living. He's living a beautiful life before God. And so we start judging other people. Well, look what he did there. Well, you're doing the same thing. But we don't look at ourselves as bad. We like to point out other people's faults. So how does hypocrisy affect us and others? And the first is in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. You don't have to turn to all these. This is talking about Adam and Eve. When the serpent... I'll just read it here, verses 1 through 13. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of God, the Lord God, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God, the Lord God, among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree thereof? I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat. And the man said, The woman whom thou givest to be with me, she gave me the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. So I know this wasn't a person here living in deceit, but this Satan there, he deceived the woman, and they fell for it. And what we see here, it took away their pure relationship with God when they fell into that deceit from the serpent. They wanted to hide from God, and I think that's what it does from us. When we start doing those things, we want to, hide ourselves from God, but we can't. Another point, I think it brings guilt at first, but after a while it'll dull our conscience. At first maybe we're guilty, I wasn't being truthful there, I was trying to hide something, but after a while our conscience dulls and we don't really care. Another one, it's talking about Jacob and Esau, how Jacob... He deceived his brother, and he deceived his father also. And he was acting like his brother. And what that did, it broke a relationship. And it took it about 20 years before they came back together. So I believe living in hypocrisy can break relationships. And when people see that, they don't want to be with you anymore. Another point is Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5, how they lied to Peter there as they were bringing money to him. They said, yeah, we brought all of it. And they agreed before that they would say that we brought all of it, but they didn't. They were deceiving Peter there. But God gave Peter wisdom to see what they were doing, and God struck him dead right there. I believe eventually in our spiritual lives, and then in the end, it'll bring death to us if we live like that and don't change our ways. And I believe one of the saddest things that hypocrisy can do is it turns unbelievers away from God. Because I'm sure we've all heard of somebody or heard somebody say that, well, I'm not going to be Christian. Well, look at that guy. He says he's a Christian, but he's living no different than me. And that's a sad thing because we're supposedly Christians, but we're turning people away from God. And I believe another thing, it can cause confusion in the church when people are saying, yeah, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm doing this. And other people see it and go, well, what's right here? And I know the Bible says God is not the author of confusion. So what does God think about hypocrisy? I'm going to go back to Malachi. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. This is what the punishment is to the priests. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because ye do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed, and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feast, and one shall take you away with it. And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. God said he's going to curse them. He's cursed them already. He said he's going to curse their blessings. And then verses 8 and 9, it says, but ye have departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. So he said, they've caused people to stumble at the law. And that's a bad thing to do when we cause people to stumble because of the way we're living. He says he's going to make them contemptible. And in Psalm 101, verse 7, says, he that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house, and he that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. So we're not going to dwell in God's house if we're working deceit and hypocrisy. It says we're not going to tarry in his sight either. And then Titus 1, verse 16 says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. So the people that profess to know God, but in our works we don't show that we do, says we're abominable. And abominable is like a terrible thing. It's a down low, dirty thing. And that's what God thinks of us. And then in Matthew 23, verses here, 13 through 19. This is Jesus talking to the Pharisees. It says, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you can pass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, you blind guides, which say, Whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. And he goes on and he's basically opening all the things that they do in front of everybody. If you can imagine being there and being one of those people, how humiliating that had to be. Imagine if God would come here and if any of us are living like that and he just says it in front of everybody. That had to feel horrible. I'm going to read verse 33. It says, "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?" And if we think what a viper is, that's a deadly poisonous snake. And that's what he's calling them. He says, how are you going to escape the damnation of hell by living like this? In verse 37, you can see God's heart here. It says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, and you would not. Now God wants his people to be together, and he wants to keep them under his wings, but it says they would not. So what we see here, God absolutely hates it. So what are we going to do about it if we have it in our lives? 1 Peter 2, verses 1 through 3. Sorry, 2 Peter. No, that is 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3. It says, Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is good. So God wants us to lay these things aside. And he wants us to desire his word. And if we're living in his word, I believe that'll draw us closer to him and help us not to be living like that. And then James 5, verse 16 says, Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So right there, confessing. If we realize that we're living in hypocrisy, we can confess it. It says God will, he's going to heal us. I have another little story here. It says, a young couple moved into a new neighborhood. The next morning, while they were eating breakfast, the young woman saw her neighbor hanging her wash to dry. That laundry is not very clean, she said. She doesn't know how to wash correctly. Perhaps she needs better laundry soap. Her husband looked on but remained silent. Every time her neighbor hung her wash to dry, the young woman repeated her observation about the dirty laundry. About 1 month later, the woman was surprised to see a nice clean wash on the line and said to her husband, Look, she has learned how to wash correctly. I wonder who taught her this. The husband said, I got up early this morning and cleaned our windows. So a lot of times we see other people's faults. We like to judge them about it, but not realizing that it's our problem. We're the one that's living in deceit. And it refers us to Matthew 7, verses 3 through 5. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. So we need to cast out the things that are in our lives that are causing us to be hypocrites before we can even help somebody else. So that's one thing we need to do there as well. So what is God going to do if we repent? If we go back to Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. So they were keeping back the offerings from God. But this is what God will do if we repent. It says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." God's like, test me. You know, if you bring those tithes back and stop keeping them from me, see, I'm going to pour you out a blessing so much that you won't even be able to receive it. There's going to be so much. That's what God wants to do for us. Now, what is God going to do if we don't repent? And I'm sure we all heard the term, face the music. There's a story behind that I'm going to read. It says, "Many years ago, a man wanted to play in the Imperial Orchestra, but he couldn't play a note. Since he was a person of great wealth and influence, however, he demanded to be allowed to join the orchestra so that he could perform in front of the king. The conductor agreed to let him sit in the second row of the orchestra. Even though he couldn't read music, he was given a flute. And when a concert would begin, he would raise his instrument, pucker his lips, and move his fingers. He went through all the motions of playing, but he never made a sound. This deception went on for 2 years. Then one day, a new conductor took over the Imperial Orchestra. He told the orchestra that he wanted to personally audition all the players to see how well they could play. The audition would weed out all those who didn't meet his standards, and he would dismiss them from the orchestra. One by one, the players performed at his presence. Frantic with worry when it was his turn, the phony flutist pretended to be sick. The doctor, who was ordered to examine him, however, declared that he was perfectly well. The conductor insisted that the man appear and demonstrate his skill. Shamefacedly, the man had to confess that he was a fake. That was the day he had to face the music. It says, many people go through the motions of Christian life. They attend church or youth group, recite Bible verses, and say all the right things. In reality, though, they are fakes. A time is coming when everyone will be called to stand before the judge of heaven and earth and face the music. No one will be able to hide in the crowd. The phonies will be separated from the true players. And scripture there is Matthew 25, 31 through 46. I'm going to read that in closing here. It says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and he visited me not. Then shall they also answered him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered or thirst, or a stranger, or naked or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as he did it not to one of the least of these, he did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So yeah, one of these days we're going to have to face the music of how we lived our life. And may we live it for God's glory and not be living in deception and hypocrisy. Because, you know, if we see these people in there, they're like, well, we did all these things, but, you know, many people can do those things, but yet they're not doing them for God's glory. And God doesn't like that. So God bless you.